Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm live at the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield. Right now, we have the Carbon Lady Dinos going toe-to-toe with the Morgan Trojans. The winner of that game will move on to the state championship. And immediately following that, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to bring you live pregame coverage of the Emory Lady Spartans contest. They're getting set to take on the Grantsville Cowboys. The winner of that game will play the winner of Carbon and Morgan tomorrow in the state championship. Whoever comes out on the short end of the stick will move to the consolation bracket. So today we're going to recap some of the segments that we had throughout the week. A terrific one with Emory High School wrestling coach Kurt Christiansen. Want to highlight what a tremendous job those wrestlers did this season. So we're going to play that interview for you from Coach Kurt Christiansen. We'll also talk to a former Major League Baseball player, Bill Lasky. Then we'll break into pregame coverage as Emory gets set to take on the Grantsville Cowboys. That's all coming up right here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I get a condensed version of the show since we are live at the Sevier Valley Center, and we'll get off and rolling with that after this quick commercial break right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
The choice is yours. Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card lets you choose from 5% off instantly at the register or special financing on qualifying purchases. That means no forms, no waiting, no rebates. You can choose 5% off instantly with your Sutherland's Credit Card. Got a big project? Choose special financing. The choice is yours with Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payment required. See store for details. Only at Sutherland's.
Tired of your worn-out, dated kitchen cabinets? Painting them is an easy way to make them look new and refresh your entire kitchen. Benjamin Moore Advance makes painting cabinets a snap. Whether brushed, rolled, or sprayed, Advance leaves a smooth, durable finish with the added benefit of easy soap and water cleanup. Available in high-gloss, semi-gloss, satin, and matte finishes, and it's available in thousands of famous Benjamin Moore colors, so you are sure to get the perfect color and elegant look your cabinets deserve. Come into Spectrum Paint Supply today, 80 South, 100 West.
As a mom, I felt like my kids were slipping away. I just wanted to spend time with them. But with our fast-paced life, it just wasn't possible. Besides, what kid wants to hang out with their mom? That was until I found the Price Theaters. So now I take time with each of my kids and take them to a movie. No, we can't talk during the movie, but we're together, and the conversation afterwards is the best. So as one busy mom to another, take your kid to the movies tonight. It'll give you things to talk about for a lifetime.
For some children, visiting the dentist for the first time can be a little stressful. Price Pediatric Dental understands and has some tips to ease a child's anxiety. Bring your child in to meet the staff and tour the office before any dental work is done. They can even sit in the dentist chair and have a conversation. This will allow him or her to become familiar with the staff and office environment. Price Pediatric Dental specializes in making sure a child's visit is a positive one. Call to schedule an appointment today at 637-9590.
Imagine having the perfect snow shovel, one that takes the work out of shoveling the snow, one where the snow doesn't stick, it just rolls off the blade like a plow. A shovel with a 6-year guarantee against breakage that has a D-grip handle and is lightweight. Hi, this is Alan at Peterson Chemical and Janitorial, and we've been selling the Bigfoot snow shovel for over 30 years. Come on down to 373 South, 100 West in Price and get yours today. That's Peterson Chemical Company.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk high school wrestling. The season came to an end over the weekend as the Emory Spartans and the Carbon Dinos both traveled on the road for the 3A state championship tournament on Friday night. Emory comes back with three state champions, a third place finish overall at the state meet. Just a brilliant, brilliant year for this team all the way around. Joining us right now to talk about the performances over the weekend, we have head coach Kurt Christiansen right now. Coach, as always, I appreciate you making out the time for us. Thanks.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Coach, we'll start by talking about the fact that you have three state champions on your squad, and I know that there were high expectations going in, but even with that being said, to come back with Breyer and Hayes and Braden Howard as state champions, I mean, I'm sure you've got to be just completely thrilled for those three. I know you put five into the championship rounds. What a performance from your team in general.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these guys are awesome, and we do it a different day. We may have five state champions. You know, these guys wrestle great. And, you know, that's the most we've ever put into the finals. It was an amazing run. Guys wrestled great. To watch the progress of Braden Howard from when he was a freshman who won maybe two matches all year to be a state champion as a senior is just something amazing. To have Hayes be the first two-time state champion from Emory High School is another amazing feat. To have Breyer come in there and you know, be a reserve champion as a junior and finally get him on top of the podium as a senior. And he had to wrestle his ever-living tail off to get it done. We took the kid right down and put him on his back. I thought we should have the pin in the first period and kind of ran out of time. And then the kid came back and put us on our back, and we had to fight off her back and come back and wrestle and to finish with a pin in a cradle, no less. He's the cradle king. You know, currently Breyer still holds the state pin record. So three amazing wrestlers, Jaron and Byron, to make finals this year and get that monkey off their back and have some great wrestling in the finals with two wonderful competitors. You know, Jaron loses to a two-timer or a one-timer who's now a two-timer, I guess, and then Byron loses to a two-timer who's now a three-timer. You know, so we're wrestling the best of the best out there. And at Byron's weight class, you know, the power poles through the state, not just in 3A, the power poles in the state of Utah have them too at 1-2 in the state. So there's some amazing wrestling going on at 126, you know.
No doubt.
Lightweight right there. Denham gets the Outstanding Wrestler of the Year award. So, I mean, there's some amazing wrestling going on there.
Yeah, amazing wrestling going on at Emory High as well, Coach, as you alluded to. I know that Breyer and Hayes, that was expected. And you had told me there was a chance for five or six state champions. I mean, you had told me that at the very beginning of the year. So, while we expected Breyer and Hayes, still doesn't make it any less sweet when it finally happens, especially for Hayes, who is a repeat state champion now.
Yeah, you know, it's just writing it on paper is one thing, but getting it done at the tournament's a whole different deal. You know, we watched in the different A classifications and even in ours, some of the one seeds fall in the quarterfinals or semifinals. You know, you just being the one seed doesn't make you the champion. You have to show up, and you have to get it done. And the boys performed extremely well. I could not be more pleased.
Again, as I mentioned, Coach, and you mentioned, five kids actually go to the state championship match. Aside from the five that finished one or two, who were some of the other performances that you were really impressed with at state?
Oh, my goodness. We have Merritt at third place. We got Bid there at fifth. You know, those boys at 113, they stepped up and they wrestled their tails off. We had, you know, all of our state placers. Caden at 120 come in. His goal this year was to be a state placer, and he got it done. You know, we had some real battles at 138 and 145 that didn't go our way. I was really tickled with those guys. another state placer at 152. Close to a state placer at 152 is the we had Aiden Mortensen there wrestling for us too. I mean, all of them stellar performances. We had a couple of I'm going to call them bonehead calls go against Tyler Stilson in the quarterfinals and in his consolation round three consolation quarterfinal. I feel like, you know, he had guys on his back and was doing the deal and had them pinned and didn't get a call and then gets a quick pin against him. You know, sometimes those referee calls are frustrating to deal with all year, but it is part of the game, you know. But I want to say all my guys wrestled great. We had Jackson Woodhouse step up wrestling as a light 220 to get his spot at the state tournament, wrestle 285, you know, at the divisional tournament, and come in and wrestle his tail off at the state tournament. Being, you know, 85 pounds underweight, it's a big deal. These guys are amazing. You know, Little Monty at and Brayson both at 106. You know, both of those guys are weighing in way light. Brayson breaks a buck on a good day, you know, and Monty's wrestling at 93 pounds. So those guys to come in as lightweight as they did and get some team points for us, I couldn't be more pleased with my whole team. I mean, they all just wrestled great.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team as we recap the very successful 2021 season. Coach, I think when you look at these spectacular results mixed with everything that these boys had to go through, and you and I had talked as well about some of the illnesses that you had go through the team. I mean, mixed with all the guidelines and the restrictions, it's fairly phenomenal. I feel like this year it's probably even more difficult to come out on top.
Yeah, you know what? They just had to jump through so many hoops and be tested twice a week or once every couple weeks. And we had the COVID-19 run through the team, and some of them came back, you know, like they never had it, and some of them had some lingering effects. And the boys just wrestled great. We lost a couple to injury, three to injury, that really could have helped us in the state finals, you know, but that one hurt, you know, having J-Dub gone as a senior and being a state placer the other 3 years. We know he would have knocked some more points on the board for us. So, you know, he got to come and watch and be part of the team, but it was bittersweet for him and us, I know. And we had those two young men that go out with a busted arm. You know, that's hard, but they were great and supported for the team. So, you know, all in all, I guess you're only ever as high as the mountain you climb. And I feel like these guys, they climbed some pretty high peaks this year, and they came back with the best performance Emory wrestling's ever had. So,
and on top of all that, Coach,
go up from here, man. We're in good shape.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Aside from all of that, you have a very young team here. It's not as if you're saying goodbye to a ton. You're saying goodbye to a state champion. I get that. But in the same sense, you got a lot of young guys that perform very well.
Yeah, you know what? We lose two state champions. Our other one comes back. We lost 13 seniors this year. That sounds like a lot, and it is. And they're going to be very missed. But on the other hand, four of those were our scorers. So if we look at it from that point of view, we can replace four scorers with four more. And I've got some really stellar freshmen coming in next year, and I have these underclassmen who were at the state finals and almost placed at the state finals. But they're going to be our placers and our high placers next year, especially if they'll compete in some spring and summer wrestling and do some camps and put in the extra work. And that's what it takes to make these champions, is the extra stuff. I tell them all the time, extraordinary people do extraordinary things.
Coach, now that it's all over and done with, and I know that this has been such a process, and I think there's such beauty in the process and watching someone build a program, where does this team rank as far as the all-time squads that you have coached? That's probably a really tough question, I know, but I mean, gosh, it's just such a special season with everything you guys had to go through.
I just got chills. I'm not lying to you. I got goosebumps. Here's the deal. This is the best all-around team that I've ever coached, and their numbers show it. I don't know that I've had individuals who performed this well and put in the extra effort. And, you know, my state champions and my reserve state champions over the years, those are the guys doing the extra and putting in the time. But what's happened is those guys get to get better and better, and the ones that did do the extra and showed these younger guys that it's possible, you know, now these guys have shown that it's possible to get 5 in the finals, and next year we'll have 10 in the finals. You know, each group builds on the ones before, but that the belief in the possibility is finally coming to fruition. I think these guys are by far the best team that I've ever had.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate all the time you've given us throughout the year. It's been fun following these boys. Congratulations again on just a stellar 2020-21 campaign. I know you're going to get moving now with the little guys, right? I mean, you got to get the juniors off and rolling.
Yeah, it's time for bantam season and then spring season for these high school and junior high age kids. So there's lots of wrestling to be done here this year, and it won't be near as intense. It'll be a little bit here and a little bit there, and, you know, they'll get to go on with their lives and stay on the mat a little bit, and I think that's the key to it is now we're in the off season, but there's still wrestling going on, and if they'll stay on the mat and stay competing, they'll come back even stronger next year.
Coach, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again real soon. Thank you for the time.
You bet. Thanks, Jordan.
Stellar season for that Emory High School wrestling squad. You can get the complete results from the state championship meet right now. Just head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's all right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Remodeling a house can be fun, stressful, exciting, and sometimes cause serious anxiety. Let Nichols Remodeling and Construction help, a company that values their customers, going the extra mile to make sure they're satisfied and the job is done right the first time. Nichols has full-time painters on staff and a custom cabinetry shop. How many other remodeling companies can say that? From tile to excavation, they do it all. Call Jackson Nichols at 630-8687 to schedule an appointment.
Hey, Tom, you just roofed your house, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I saved a ton of money doing it myself, too.
Who did you hire to haul all the bundles of shingles to the top of the roof?
I didn't have to hire anyone. I bought my roofing at Magnuson Lumber. They delivered it rooftop for me.
I didn't know anyone did that. It had to cost a lot.
Actually, no, and it saved my back and a whole lot of time. Stop by their store in Castledale and get your roof done so we can go fishing.
When you think home improvements, think Magnuson Lumber in Castledale. They carry what you're looking for to get your home improvement projects done.
Let's talk diesel engines, because at Landon's Diesel, diesel is what they do best. Landon's Diesel prides themselves on being diesel experts, so why would you take your diesel vehicle for even a simple oil change to anyone else? At Landon's Diesel, their staff is trained and certified to keep your diesel running properly. You drive a diesel for a reason: great fuel mileage, power, and dependability, so make sure you treat it to an oil change by diesel engine experts at Landon's Diesel on 300 West in Price.
What could be better than high school football and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than an afternoon soccer game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than a baseball game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? You get the point, right? Everything is better when you add a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Eating that juicy golden fried chicken and watching your team play live is the best combination ever. Get to KFC before your next game.
JN Auto says it's time to get in the auto buying game. JN Auto is a game changer when you're looking for a new vehicle but don't want to pay the new vehicle price. By making JN Auto a part of your team, you can count on finding quality, gently used vehicles with manufacturer warranties and unbeatable prices. You just found the secret to finding the perfect vehicle. It's JN Auto. Check out their huge inventory at jnautosales.com. JN Auto in Huntington and Price.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Like a bullet, jumping at a gun. I'm feeling like a winner. It's spring training time for Major League Baseball. Fun time of the year. Last week, we managed to talk pitchers and catchers. Now we can talk everything as things start to pick up as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Joining us right now to have that conversation again this week, we have Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, and now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about his work as well. Bill, always a pleasure. I look forward to these conversations each week.
Yeah, it's a great time. You and I love the game of baseball, and baseball is upon us. And spring training games are going to start ramping up already, even though the all-day players, everyday players came in Monday. They're starting their first games on Sunday, and what's kind of strange to me a little bit, but it's more of a precautionary thing, is some of these spring trainings are going to start out only being seven innings, as well as if you want to put a defensive replacement, you can throw them into the game any type of the inning. You can bring pitchers in anytime you want, and just different facets of the game that they're trying to use in spring training to more or less, like I said, precautionary things for players because it is early.
Are you okay with that? I mean, you're a baseball purist. I'm a traditionalist myself. I don't like all the changes to the game itself. But as far as spring training is concerned, are you all right with the seven-inning game?
No, I'm not, because you got enough pitchers. You have enough players. You know, I always thought that was the key to some of the young players because they got into those games in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and they're sitting. You know, a lot of these guys are first time in the big leagues, first time in big league spring training. They want to get in and take one at bat. They want to get an inning in. Pitchers want to throw to a big league hitter. And, you know, you see all these numbers, 81, 86, 93, 94. Those are the guys that need those innings. Those are the guys that need those at bats. And those are the guys that need to show their talents in front of the big league manager. So in the beginning, maybe the first week, maybe first couple games, but they're talking all the way through mid-March. And that's the question that I look at.
Well, Bill, let's talk about the upcoming season and some more of the offseason moves. Last week, we really focused heavily on the pitchers. This week, we can look at some of the positional players and some of the big money that was thrown out. Look, right out of the gate, Fernando Tatis Jr., this guy's in the National League West. You follow him. I've followed his entire career up to this point in time. The kid's special. He hasn't put together 162 games yet, but still the Padres come out, they throw 340 at him. In your mind, was that the right thing for the Padres to do?
I think with Machado signed, and I think what the Padres are doing is saying, hey, we're looking to contend against the Dodgers. And the guy that they wanted to be their superstar in that team is Tatis Jr. Now, no doubt about it, you and I both have seen his talents, but I think you hit it on the head. He hasn't played 162-game season. Is he going to melt down toward the end of the year? Great year last year, 60-game season, but they must see a lot of talent in him, and as well as we do, fans see it. You know, in his press conference, the only thing I kind of just shook my head on, he was saying, I'm playing here to get a statue, some kind of a statue contract, and I thought that was very preliminary in, you know, looking at your career so far. And he was talking to Tony Gwynn Jr., and he said, I want to have a statue right next to your dad's. But you know what? You got a lot of baseball to play in your career before you even think about that. But if that's their goal, if that's their mindset, if that's what lights that fire, then I guess that's the new thing that we have to look at in the world of baseball.
Okay, going back to your days when you were a pitcher, if you would have had an infielder come out and say something, or even an outfielder come out and say something along the lines of, I want a statue next to Babe Ruth, or I want a statue next to Hank Aaron, would you throw at that guy?
I don't know about throwing at him, but I definitely would be squawking if I struck him out, or, you know, like a Bauer move, you know, statue, you can't even get a hit, you know.
And yeah.
He's got a lot of pressure on him now by mounting that attack, because you know that opposition, just like you and I are talking, that opposition is going to be chirping at him all the time. And, you know, there was a lot of comments all over baseball when he said that. And, you know, and then the new thing about the statue contract, is that what everybody's looking to have? I don't know. I played the game differently. The olden days, you played the game differently. And just like you said, if a Bob Gibson heard that, or you know, somebody that threw extremely hard, you better be watching that chin music. And you still might get it from some of the Dodger hit pitchers or some of the Giant pitchers, you know, because, hey, pitchers look at that and say, really? You really think you're that exceptional? You have a lot of talent, no doubt. You're set for life, no doubt. But now you got to prove to me what you can do on that field consistently, every year has to be an all-star year to really mount that attack to have that statue.
Well, Bill, this is a question for you because I get a read, I get to see things. You know, we're around AAA baseball, but you're around the show. And in my mind, from what I've noticed from the outside looking in, Major League Baseball is still different than, say, the NBA. The NBA has kind of gone to this fraternity era. It's been that way now for 4 or 5 years. I don't view baseball as that way. I still view that baseball has legitimate rivalries where players don't like one another.
It is, and it is a rivalry. That's what makes it a rivalry. I think, you know, probably a couple times before you and I talked about this Dodger-Giant rivalry, and I grew up in Ohio. I didn't really know a lot about it because I really didn't follow California teams because of the Midwest and the West Coast. All I got to do is look at box scores because it was 3-hour difference. So when I came out here and then everybody's telling me, oh, the Dodger-Giant rivalry, and I'm just like, what is that all about? And then the first game at Candlestick, I'm seeing fights in the stands, beer thrown at each other, you know, lighting, you know, those little banners up. I mean, there was brawls all over the place, and it turned into that high school rivalry you always had against the other side of the town. But, you know, it was different back then. The rivalries now, I don't think they're at that level because I think a lot of the players are looking longevity, looking for the big money, and they don't really, really worry about it. But I tell you what, the NL West is starting to have some rivalries. Of course, the Giants and the Dodgers. But I think that Padre-Dodger rivalry is going to start kicking in because you got some outstanding talent on both those teams. And I just wonder how deep it's going to get with Bauer over there and all the chirping he's going to do. And then you got the Padres with a loaded team and a loaded pitching staff. And we keep forgetting about that pitching staff. They got a couple Cy Young winners over there now. So it's going to be a battle. But again, I don't think the rivalries are like back in the day when the Cardinals and the Cubs would fight or the Yankees and the Red Sox would go at it. It's a different era of baseball.
Again, our guest right now is Bill Lasky, joining us right now to talk Major League Baseball. You just mentioned the Chicago Cubs. This is a team I want to talk about, Bill, because I don't know that there is a more interesting team going into the season than the Chicago Cubs. And people would look at me and say, "But really? The Cubs?" No, let me tell you why. When you look at what the Cubs did this last offseason, if they still feel they have a chance to win, there's no more Theo Epstein in that front office. They go out, they sign Jake Arrieta. They have Zach Davies. John Lester's gone. Like, this team looks different as far as the pitching rotation is concerned. But then you start looking at the position players. They still have Chris Bryant. They still have Baez. They still have Rizzo. They're heading for free agency in 2022. That's why this Cubs team is so interesting to me. Changes in the front office, three big-name players heading into free agency, and really a roster that just it can't compete. Let's just be honest. This team cannot compete in the National League. This is a fun season, I think. If you're not a Cubs fan, if you can watch from the distance, it's fun to see what happens here.
They sure did change. Hugh Darvish they got rid of, and then they pick up Jock Peterson.
Right, they got, yeah, correct, yeah.
And you look at some of the ads and some traction, is, you know, Bryant's name's been in every trade from the New York Mets to Washington Nationals, all over the place. And again, like you said, a new general manager, a new type of thoughts. Will there be trading during the year with this team if they don't come out of the blocks as any kind of contender? Possibly. It's just a different era of Cubs baseball, and I'm with you. I don't think they're going to contend against the Cardinals.
I don't think they can contend against the Cardinals. Then you look at the National League in general. I don't put them in the same stratosphere as the Braves or the Padres or the Dodgers or the Mets. There's just the NL is so loaded. And without the expanded playoffs, that changes things drastically.
I agree with you. I think the National League did a lot of moves over the winter, over the break. And I think the National League made themselves stronger. American League really didn't do much. You know, when you look at the Yankees, they really didn't do much. They picked up a couple players here and there. The Red Sox are on a tailspin. Jackie Bradley Jr. still out there as a free agent. What's going to happen to him? Why wasn't he signed? There's a lot of questions in the AL, and then you start looking at the AL West. The Oakland A's, I thought they were out of it. They got Rosenthal, Romo, Petit. They build their pitching staff right back up. They get rid of Simeon. You know, he goes to, where would he go? Minnesota, I think it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got different moves in the AL West. The Houston Astros really didn't do much. So I just think the National League really built their rosters stronger, and I think the NL is a better league this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and you look at the top free agents, the top free agents from this past offseason, we'll start off with JT Realmuto's got to be one of them, right? He signs in Philly.
Yeah.
You can talk about Trevor Bauer. He signs with the Dodgers. George Springer went to Toronto. DJ LeMahieu stays put in New York. But Marcelo Ozuna stays with Atlanta. Marcus Stroman. So you look at all the biggest free agents. For the most part, they either stayed or went to the NL.
Yeah. Yeah, Simeon went to Toronto.
Toronto, correct.
I said Twins. He's in Toronto. And you look at the Blue Jays. Probably the Blue Jays did the most. And they said they were going to spend money, and they did.
Yeah, they went out and got Springer as well, so they added a couple of pieces, no doubt.
Yeah, but again, you know, what else is out there in American leagues? It's the same teams. Houston, I thought, would do something. Verlander's out for the year with Tommy John. They really didn't solidify any new players, any new bodies to build that team. So I do look at, you know, just like what we just said, the National League definitely made some stronger moves, some stronger rosters. And really the Padres really didn't hurt their prospects. They didn't even touch the top 10 prospects in all the trades and moves they made. So I just think the National League is definitely better farm directors now. They're building their minor leagues better. And we'll just see if anything happens during the year. There's always a lot of moves and a lot of trades going on. And I think everybody's looking through spring training to get through it and see how COVID-19 is doing. They're going to let fans in Florida and Arizona. So there will be baseball back with some fans, which is good. And we'll just see day to day, week to week, how spring training opens and how many guys get injured, how many times they push some of these guys. And I think that's the biggest issue right now because, like I said, active players came in Monday and all of a sudden they're in games by Sunday. And usually they take a week to 10 days or a little bit more than that. So we'll see how many guys play, if they play one inning, a couple at bats, things like that, and then move forward with that.
Bill, one more question for you before I let you go. Albert Pujols, we don't know if this is going to be his final season or not. There was a report that it would be, and then it turned out that wasn't an official report. His wife was talking hypothetically. But he's got a 10-year deal that expires, and when he signed that 10-year deal with the Angels, it was monumental news. The world of sports at that particular time, it was crazy, because you had LeBron James leaving Cleveland and signing with Miami in the decision, and then not long after that, Albert Pujols signed what was the richest contract in baseball history to go to the Angels, and they had spent a ton of money. Didn't work out, but when you go back and you look at the course of Albert Pujols' career, if it is in fact his last season, where do you place him? What's your thoughts on him and his career?
Well, you know, I looked at some of his numbers, and I was looking at this the other day because I was on a conversation about it. He's got 679 home runs. It's fifth place, 17 shy Alex Rodriguez. You start looking at RBIs, 2,164, 50 shy of Babe Ruth, third place. And then you just start looking at hits. 3,338. He's up five spots, passing Paul Molitor, Carl Yastrzemski. Again, it's good numbers, but when you look at all this, I'm in the same boat with you. Were they meaningful? Were they big hits? Were they big home runs? I always consider him a St. Louis Cardinal. I don't really know what he did with the Angels. He really didn't stand out down there. And everybody keeps saying he's a first-time ballot Hall of Famer. I just don't know. The numbers are there. But it just didn't jump at me. Those numbers are great numbers. Don't get me wrong. He's had a great career. But he just isn't that same guy that I remember with the Cardinals. That was that guy up with bases loaded or first and second, and he drives a ball in a gap, you know, or hits that sac fly home run or sac fly RBI to win a game. What do you think? Do you think I'm on the right page?
Yeah, I do. And my thought on Albert Pujols is, he's one of the greatest hitters of this generation when we combine power and consistency at the plate. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you go back and you look at what he accomplished with the Cardinals, it was extraordinary. Now, he made a bad business move, maybe not financially, but career-wise, it was not the right move to go to the Angels. That organization has been in shambles for quite some time now. It was not the right move. You tag him next to Mike Trout, and you just think we're going to see... we have these high expectations, and they were expectations that were never met. And so then you look at his numbers with the Angels. batted 257, 217 home runs, and I think 770 RBIs. I can't remember off the top of my head, something along the lines of that. That drops his career average to 299. So think about that. The guy bats 257 with the Angels, and it drops his career average to 299. That's how spectacular he was in St. Louis. It just didn't work, Bill, with the Angels.
I agree. And just like I said, I remember him as a Cardinal. He was a fierce hitter there. And then he just kind of got soft with the Angels and a lot of injuries. Wasn't playing every day. DHing now. And I laughed the same thing you did. His wife precluded to put it on Twitter that he was retired. And the next thing he said is, my wife, you know, she said that. I didn't really mean that, you know. So he doesn't, who knows what it is, you know. And I guess the Albert Pujols household right now is in a little dismay. The wife maybe wants him to retire. Maybe she threw that out there. But at the same time, you know, this could be his last year. He's up in age. The Angels, like you said, have always been in a disarray down there. They just haven't had any kind of consistency in any year. And we're watching Mike Trout, one of the best players in the game, and he can't even get to the playoffs. So it is a question mark. We'll see as the year goes on, see if he's healthy, see what he can do. But I tell you what, I think just like what you said, when he went to the Angels, he went off the front page.
Yeah,
and once you're off the front page, the numbers are still there at the end of the years. And like you said, at the end of his career, his numbers will be there. But boy, oh boy, it went south ever since he put that Angel uniform on.
Bill Lasky, again, former big league pitcher, taking out the time to join us. Bill, as always, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Yeah, doing some KNBR radio out here. KNBR is a sports leader. They cover the Giants. We're starting off spring training games this week, Sunday. 10 a.m. is the pregame show, and then right after I do a postgame show. So back on radio full-time on Saturdays and Sundays. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing some Giants games and talking about San Francisco Giants and the NL West like I always do. But again, baseball's back. I'm excited to get back into it, watch baseball, listen to the games, and get excited again. And, it's 75 degrees here in San Francisco, and boy, oh boy, if that doesn't get you baseball ready, I don't know what will.
Yeah, it's go time. It's go time. Best time of the year. Bill Lasky, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Bill, thank you again for the time.
Thank you, and thank your listeners for listening. And it's always a pleasure talking to you week to week. I'll look forward to next week.
As do I, Bill. Looking forward to next week. Thank you. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back and wrap up with some NBA talk right after this.
Your car. You depend on it to get your family where they need to go. But as a busy mom, the last thing you need is more stress or worry. So leave your car care to the experts at Gray Coast Tire Pros. They're more than just tires. They've got your entire vehicle maintenance covered, from brakes and oil changes to an AC recharge and so much more. Gray Coast will make sure your car is in top shape to keep up with your schedule. Nothing slows you down faster than car problems. Keep yours running smooth with Gray Coast Tire Pros, where everything rolls around you.
You hear that? Yeah, me too. Who wants to go out in this? I do. This winter, get your family and friends together and get to Gateway Lanes. Gateway has open bowling Monday through Saturday, and the snack bar is open. Times for open bowling are Monday through Thursday, noon to 5:30, and noon to close on Friday and Saturday. 94th South Main and Helper. Gateway Lanes can help ease the pain of your winter blues.
Even though the state of Utah doesn't require a state safety inspection anymore, a cracked or chipped windshield is nothing to mess around with. Your safety on the road is important, and Frank's Glass is here to help. They are the experts in windshield replacement and rock chip repair. Don't let a cracked windshield put you in danger on the road. Get into Frank's Glass today. Frank's Glass, proudly serving Carbon and Emery counties for over 48 years. Call 637-2214 or visit them across the street from Charlie's Pond.
So you just got home from work and you find that your fur baby is sick. Just like when your child is sick, you don't want your poor dog to suffer overnight. But who do you call? Emery and Carbon Animal Health is here for you. They offer after-hours emergency pet care, so you don't have to spend the whole night worrying. Just give them a call, 637-VETS, any hour of the day or night, and they will be there to help. With a friendly and knowledgeable staff, your fur baby is in good hands at Emery and Carbon Animal Health. Call 637-VETS.
Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help you get started on managing your finances better with their low-interest debt consolidation loan. Minimum payments made to several different high-interest credit cards are not going to get you debt-free very quickly. Come into a Desert View branch today and let them help you get your debt consolidated into one easy, low-interest payment. Get control of your debt and your finances and come into Desert View Federal Credit Union today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Coming up tonight, right here on KOAL, Utah Jazz basketball is going to make its return. Jazz have been playing good ball. Last time out, suffered a loss to the Clippers. But it's a fun week for the Jazz, all in all. They get the Hornets tonight. They get a highly anticipated matchup with the Lakers on Wednesday. LA will be without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder. And then they get the defending Eastern Conference champ Miami Heat on Friday, and then they get the Orlando Magic on Saturday. I think it's a really interesting week for the Jazz. It's an interesting time for the NBA all around. We're about a month away from the trade deadline. All-Star break is right around the corner. You're starting to see some separation as far as teams that are legit and teams that were just fun stories. We'll talk about that more right now with Jamison Welsh, who's joining us over the phone of BasketballNews.com. As always, Jamison, great to get our NBA guy on the show. I appreciate the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's start by talking about the Jazz. We got to see them go up against a lineup that was plentiful in the Clippers, finally. And this is what I mean. Jazz fans think I'm being insulting and I'm taking pop shots at the Jazz. I'm not. I just don't believe we can gauge the top four teams in each conference the way this season has gone so far. With that being said, there's no doubt they still are the best team. They have played as the best team in the NBA right now. But for the Clippers to beat a full-strength Jazz team, I think this speaks volumes to what's happening with Ty Lue in Clipperland. We talk about the Lakers. We talk about the Jazz. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about the Clippers. And I think that's the way they like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just from last year to this year, it's totally different. You know, the team still has the same flaws, but there's less attention on them, and they're not talked as much. So that is a very good point you do make there. But they're right in the thick of things. I mean, the West is really, in my opinion, that's a four-team race. The West has Lakers, Clippers, the Jazz, and the Nuggets. After that, things got to happen for anyone else to kind of jump into that top four. But to me, those are the four teams that have a chance to do something out West. Other than that, everybody else is just everybody else in my eyes at this time. Now, things can change, trades can change, things can happen, but as of right now, that's kind of where we are.
Okay, let's talk about some of the teams in the West that have been disappointing so far, because I agree with you. Those are the four teams, and even though the Nuggets are just a couple of games under or above 500, I would want to play them in a seven-game set, especially having to travel back and forth to Denver. They're legit. I think we can agree on that. When you look on the outside looking in, we have the Dallas Mavericks at 13-15. This is the most disappointing team of the year so far for me. I know that there's been injuries. There's a lot of question marks within this squad, but we saw such growth last year, and we saw Luka Doncic really come into his own in the playoffs. I get it. Completely different scenario last year to this year, but Jamison, this has been the most disappointing team in my eyes in the Western Conference. The Mavericks are just, they're not good. It's that simple.
Yeah, they don't defend. You know, Porzingis isn't the guy I think people expected him to be coming back from injury. The roster isn't that great, and the expectations are high. So it's really a rough situation when you have high expectations and the roster does not allow you to meet those expectations. That's always a tough thing to deal with. But also, like, it's going to be interesting to see, but how long is Rick Carlisle out there? He's an older guy. That team is kind of, you know, they're kind of in a weird spot. Like, they're not not a rebuilding team, but kind of a team just kind of sputtering. So what ends up happening with him? Like, that's going to be my biggest question, because he's getting up there in age. The Mavs aren't any closer to winning a title than they were last year. Don't know. Something to keep an eye on. But there's also some other disappointments out West as well. I mean, Minnesota having like the worst record in the league is kind of ridiculous. We look at the players they have on the team and whatnot. Like, they don't have worst record in the league talent. Like, they got some, like, Karl Anthony Towns is a top 25 player in the league, if not higher. D'Angelo Russell, when healthy, is a really good player. You know, when healthy, he's able to do some things. But them being having the worst record in the West is, this says a lot.
Yeah, and I can throw New Orleans in there as well, because this is a team that's 13-17. And as we talk about the Pelicans, let this be a reminder to any fan of the NBA that believes you give up too much young talent to acquire a superstar. It's not possible. It's not possible in the NBA. This is a Pelican team. People were so high on them last year. And David Griffin was getting all this respect. Oh, he fleeced the Lakers. Now they have Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart, and they acquired all these draft picks, and you can mash this with Zion Williams. And you just go all the way down, and you look at the way this Pelicans team was built. Jameson, it hasn't worked out in New Orleans. And again, this is a bad basketball team. They are not good. They may have been exciting last night. That's fine and dandy. This is not a good basketball team.
Not at all. And it's to the point where you look at the situation, it's like, all right, well, what do they need? How do they need to build this thing? And the number one thing is they need spacing. This is a three-point shooting league where not everybody needs to know how to shoot threes, but you need to have enough guys in your roster that can space the floor to where defenders have to actually give an honest attempt out there to close out on them. And right now, the Pelicans don't have enough guys for that, and that's kind of why they're struggling. And I don't know when that's going to be corrected, but you know, I'm watching because, like you mentioned, Dave Griffin got a lot of credit during that trade. A lot of credit. A lot of free celebratory things were going on there. A year later, the team he traded his big gun to won a championship and then positioned to win another one, and he's not close enough to make the playoffs this time. Something to keep an eye on.
No question. I don't know that the Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe backcourt has necessarily worked the way they had originally envisioned, but we'll take this one step further, and we look at Zion Williamson. Is he still that guy? I mean, it's so early. Sample size is so small. We've seen Zion in 29 games this year. He's averaging 25 points, 6 boards. Yeah, it looks good on paper. But when you look at what... I guess the comparison with Zion is always going to be to what Memphis is getting out of Ja Morant. That's always going to be the comparison. Right or wrong, that's what it is. Is Zion still that guy that he was 2 years ago?
He's the guy. They can do it all again. They still draft Zion. He puts up some crazy numbers in the paint for a guy at like 6'6", 6'7". You're averaging 25 points on like 60% field goal percentage, shooting percentage. Like, that's really good. Like, that's like Shaq type numbers. Like, mm-hmm. That's very, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some things he needs to improve upon, but that's a good foundational part. And he's a guy people want to see. So, like, when you think about the number one pick, it's not always a skill set. There's a lot of different factors that go into that pick and that decision. And with a guy like Zion, people are going to tune in to watch him. We've seen the Pelicans on TV probably 10 times this year.
Yeah.
Probably seen the Grizzlies maybe twice, maybe. So it kind of tells you what's going on. It's more than just basketball that, you know, when you decide that pick. Pelicans do that pick 10 times out of 10. And I think Zion's feeling is higher than Ja Morant also. Now, Ja Morant has been healthier, and he knows what his role is, and I think his team situation is a little bit better. But Zion has a chance to be totally different, and you take that chance all the time.
I agree with that. He will be compared to Ja, though, his entire career. That's the way it's going to work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's just how it goes. But the key thing for Zion is health, because he can play. Like, his basketball ability is not the issue. It's him staying healthy.
Let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets for a moment. Since February 10th, went over the Pacers by double digits, went over the Warriors by double digits, went over the Kings by double digits. Eke one out over the Phoenix Suns, and then, I'm not going to say they handedly beat the Lakers, but they comfortably won that game, and then they knock off the Clippers by 4 points. What are you seeing out of Brooklyn, and are they now the odds-on favorites to win the NBA championship fully healthy?
No, they're not the favorite, because regular season basketball is so different than the playoffs. I mean, the playoffs you have, you know, breaks in between games, coaches, you know, making game plans, so it's a little bit different. However, with that being said, they are definitely one of the favorites. They're probably the favorite to come out of the East, to be honest with you. Just the firepower they have and, the experience they have. However, they don't have a defensive identity, and that's something that they're going to need to find between now and the playoffs. But in regular season, they're going to overwhelm teams with their talent. That's what's going to happen. Now, in playoffs, when coaches can scheme up against you and can take tough shots and make things difficult for you, things can change. But right now, Regular season-wise, they're tough, tough out in regular season.
Again, our guest right now, Jameson Welsh of BasketballNews.com. We'll talk more about the fantastic stuff going on there in just a few moments. Jameson, we'll talk about the trade deadline and some of the other news and notes that are starting to pop up as we take a look at some of the storylines. I think one of the more active teams that we can expect from here on out would have to be the Houston Rockets, right? It's one of those situations where it's tear down and rebuild all the way up. They move Russell Westbrook for realistically the only contract they could move him for. That was in John Wall. DeMarcus Cousins has now parted ways with the Rockets. He's looking for a new home. You have some pieces, a P.J. Tucker, a Victor Oladipo. You have some names that you're probably moving within the next month. I don't know that anyone will be or should be more active than Houston over the next month.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a situation where they're rebuilding. They're going to tear it all down. They're in the Jalen Green and Kuminga sweepstakes. Evan Mobley, all those guys that are coming out in the draft, they're in that sweepstakes. So that's their key going forward. At the same time, I mean, they had a hell of a run. You know, James Harden, they had a hell of a run. Made it to the conference finals a couple of times. Just didn't close it out. Now you got to reshift your organization, rebuild slowly, but it's time to get rid of Eric Gordon. You're not getting rid of John Wall, but P.J. Tucker, all those kind of guys, it's time to get rid of and turn them into some assets to prepare your team going forward.
Jameson, what are you hearing as far as the Blake Griffin front is concerned? I know you have a lot of connections throughout the league. Is it pretty much what we're all hearing, that at some point in time, Blake Griffin's going to get bought out and he'll be able to pick and choose where he wants to go? What are you hearing on that front?
It comes down to how much money he wants to give up, because right now, he's not, you know, the Pistons want to give up anything. So right now, he's kind of stuck. I mean, he's basically quarantining at home by himself, healthy. And it'll be interesting to see, because the Pistons don't want him to get hurt, which is smart. Like, they don't want him getting hurt while playing for them. That opens up a whole different can of worms. It makes sense what's going on. Right now, it's a situation where I have to lay it out, because no one's trading for him this year. Like, no one needs him that bad. He is not a good basketball player at this time. He has not dunked since 2019. And that's kind of where we are with him right now, his career. So I don't see any team in a rush to go trade for Blake Griffin. He has a really bad player option next year as well. So he may be in a situation where he's quarantining for almost two seasons before he gets another look.
And at that point in time, I don't know if there's a place for him in the league.
Yeah, I mean, his body is so beat up. If he can't dunk, and you know, there's a lot of things, other things he can't do, then that might be a wrap for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he still is guaranteed his money. His money's good regardless. But in terms of the player he was and player he is, it's a huge drop-off.
Jameson Welsh, you get a BasketballNews.com. Our guest right now, Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on the show. We got to talk about some of the stuff that you're doing right now with Basketball News.
Yeah, so we have weekly podcasts, myself with James Posey. We have Kenyon Martin and Jada Kiss. We have a lot of good people on staff. We have Alex Kennedy and crew, Spencer Davies. There's a lot of good guys that put out great quality as well. So just take a look at it. If you want the versions of, you know, different chats or different videos, we have that as well. It's really good site.
Always a pleasure to get you on the show, Jameson. I know we'll do it again relatively soon. Thanks a lot, and you be safe. I know you were traveling back east and back down south, right, last week. You back home finally?
Yeah, I was in Charlotte and had stopped in Kentucky on the way back home. But, I was supposed to connect to Dallas, but American Airlines rerouted me back to Charlotte to come back to Vegas. So it was very interesting last week this time, but made it home safely, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to get you on. Thanks again for the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Let's break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show right after this.
This is Eastern Utah's news and weather station, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL, Price.